sermonette. By Mr. Seki Korkut from New Orleans, or I better say the right name, Slidell, Louisiana.
Well, I'm going to say good morning and good afternoon and good day and good night, and that'll cover it no matter where you are. So far on our journey through the seven laws of success, we reviewed the first five laws: setting the right goal, true education, health, drive, and resourcefulness. We've also seen how these laws correspond to the seven holy days. Just like the laws of success are a blueprint for succeeding, the holy days are a blueprint for obtaining eternal life. Now we come to the sixth law. Let's see what Mr. Armstrong wrote about this law. In the Seven Laws of Success booklet, we read, quote, yes, 9 and 10, at least once or twice in a lifetime, come to the place where they appear to be totally defeated. All is lost, apparently that is. They give up and quit. When just a little more determined hanging on, just a little more faith and perseverance, just a little more stick-to-itiveness would have turned apparent certain failure into glorious success. Law number six, then, is perseverance, stick-to-itiveness, unquote. Perseverance. Merriam-Webster defines this word as the action or condition or an instance of persevering. It also defines the word as steadfastness. The word itself comes from the Latin meaning through severity. But what does that word mean to you and to me as Christians? Let me tell you what it means to a man named W. Mitchell. At 46, Mitchell was driving down a highway when he failed to see a stalled truck. Both he and the motorcycle slid under the truck, after which his bike burst into flames, and he was burned over 65% of his body. 16 surgeries later, his hands had no fingers, and his face was a kaleidoscope of skin grafts. W. Mitchell didn't let this stop him, though. He said that he made a choice of letting this situation be a starting point as opposed to a setback. W. Mitchell was an ex-Marine and a pilot. When the terrible scars that he received from his accident went with those scars, one might think flying again was out of the question. But not so with him. For 6 months later, he was doing just that, flying again. But tragedy was soon to strike one more time. His plane crashed during takeoff, and 12 of his vertebrae were crushed, paralyzing him from the waist down. Now, some people would have given up at this point, but he went on. To him, this was just another starting point. His greatest successes were yet to come. Here are a few of them. He co-founded a successful wood stove company. He became mayor of a small town in Colorado. He married a beauty queen, even though he was bound to a wheelchair. He earned a master's degree in public administration. He ran for state senate. He has become a sought-after public speaker. Oh, and by the way, he's piloting again. You might define perseverance as the art of overcoming obstacles, to continue in the face of adversity, to endure. One of the best biblical examples of perseverance is that of Paul. Let's take a look at his example in 2 Corinthians. If you'll turn to 2 Corinthians, and we'll read 2 Corinthians 11, and we'll read verses 24 through 28. That's 2 Corinthians 11, verses 24 through 28. Now, Paul is explaining to the Corinthians his credentials as a minister. And he says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, and journeyings often, and perils of water, and perils of robbers, and perils by my own countrymen, and perils by the heathen, and perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, and weariness, and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold, and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, you talk about a man who had reasons to give up. Paul was one of them. But apparently Paul was familiar with keeping the sixth law of success. Let me tell you of another man who kept the sixth law of success. This man was born in poverty. While just a boy, his family was forced out of their house, and he had to work to support them. As a young man, he entered into business, but it failed. Later, he decided to run for state legislature, but he lost. He wanted to enter law school, but he lost his job. He couldn't get in. He couldn't afford it. He borrowed money from a friend to go into business and went bankrupt within a year. He spent the next 17 years of his life paying off his debt. He found a sweetheart and was engaged, but she died, and he had a nervous breakdown. He wanted to try his hand at politics once more, but was defeated again. 3 years later, he ran for Congress and lost. A year after that, he ran again, but won and was voted out the next election, even though he did a good job. And then he ran for the United States Senate and lost. 2 years after that, he sought the vice presidential nomination of his party, but he only got 100 votes. He tried for the Senate once more and lost. 2 years after that, he was elected President of the United States and became one of our most beloved leaders of our country. If you haven't guessed by now, the man's name was Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln once said, "The sense of obligation to continue is present in all of us. A duty to strive is a duty to us all." He applied the sixth law of success and had great dividends. Had he not persevered, this country that gives us so much freedom may not have survived. Many of us face personal obstacles in our lives. We struggle day after day trying to overcome one obstacle only to run into another. I know that many of you face obstacles. Just after overcoming and working around one trial, along comes another. After struggling so long, after facing so many setbacks, you may wonder, why continue? What's the use? After all, I'm just going to fall down again. What is the secret to applying the law of perseverance? You'll find the answer in Psalms. If you'll turn to Psalms 37, verses 23 through 24. Psalms 37, 23 and 24. This is one of the most inspiring scriptures I know of. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. The eternal God holds us by the hand and helps us to continue. When we stumble over life's obstacles, God holds us steady and helps us to get up, just like a little child learning to walk. So consider how a child learns to walk. How many times does a child stumble and fall? And when the child is learning, who is there to pick him up? The parents. After continually falling, does a child throw up his hands and say, "What's the use? I'm never going to walk?" No, he usually just laughs and tries again. Now, what if we as children failed to persevere when learning to walk? We would all be crawling to services now. So what is the ultimate outcome of the child's persevering? He learns to walk. Let me tell you about some other folks who had obstacles. Fred Astaire, his first screen test, he was told that he couldn't act, he was balding, and he could only dance a little bit. A newspaper editor fired Walt Disney because he lacked ideas. Disney went bankrupt several times before founding Disneyland. Enrico Caruso, the famous opera singer, was told by his teacher that he had no voice and could not sing. Henry Ford went broke 5 times before he succeeded. Winston Churchill failed the 6th grade. His greatest success came at age 62, only after a life of defeats and drawbacks. Thomas Edison's teacher said he was too stupid to learn anything. Basketball star Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. Leon Uris, author of the best-selling book Exodus, failed high school English 3 times. Now, these people applied the 6th law of success to overcome physical obstacles. Despite what they were up against, they stuck to it until they succeeded. But the 6th law pays off in much higher dividends when spiritually applied to our life struggles. Let's read about that in Matthew 24:13. A familiar scripture. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And in Romans 2, verses 6 through 7, according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek glory, for the glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Patient continuance also can be translated cheerful enduring. Let's face it, we're going to face obstacles in life. We're going to have trials. If we must overcome, why do it in a bad attitude? Be thankful for those obstacles, for they will help you to grow. Your endurance will pay back. There's a story told by Norman Vincent Peale. It goes something like this. One day, Norman ran into his friend George. George looked depressed. Norman asked him, "Why are you depressed?" "Because of all my problems," George cried as his anger swelled. "I'll give $5,000 to any charity if I could get rid of my problems." The statement intrigued Norman. The next day he visited George and said, "I found a place where thousands of people reside. And as far as I can tell, none of them have problems." The man said, "Oh, great, I'd love to visit that place." And Norman took George to the Woodlawn Cemetery, where nobody has problems. The only place where a person has no problems is 6 feet under. Remember that perseverance is vital to success. This particular law corresponds to the 6th holy day, the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the beginning of the millennium. Will this law be necessary in the millennium? You bet. When Christ returns, there will be obstacles requiring perseverance. There will be cultural obstacles, language obstacles, educational obstacles, and just plain old human nature, all resisting the change in government. We will have to employ the 6th law of success as well as those under us whom we will be teaching. So in conclusion, let's let James sum up the 6th law of success. Turn to James 1 and read verse 12. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him.
Good day to everyone. Weather's back kind of normal. It was kind of cold last week, but it's back to normal again here. Very nice. The sixth law that he had and he described there today will tie in quite well with the sermon you'll find. And so I'll announce that sermon in just a minute. Last week when we heard Mr. Dean Blackwell, there's a few things he said on the tape that doesn't apply today. And there's a couple of mistakes he made. It was brought out to my attention. So this afternoon for the Bible study, I'm going to take the Bible study. We're going to get the articles and they're going to have the booklet out and we're going to go through the healing and all that. And it's going to be kind of an open forum so you can ask questions. And so that's what we're going to do this afternoon for the Bible study. But one thing he did say that needed correcting, there's a couple other things too, but this was one. And he said, unless God intervenes, the very elect would be deceived. And that's not what the Bible says. It says, unless God intervened, there would be no flesh saved alive. So it doesn't say if it's possible to deceive the elect, that's what the trial is all about, to find out who's going to pass the test and who's not. So we'll be getting into that this afternoon on the healing doctrine a little bit, and just kind of there were some questions came in, some emails and things, and phone calls. So we just want to kind of clear up a few questions I might have there, and just kind of get the basics. It's going to take a little bit of time to go through that, so we're just going to kind of be open forum. If you have any questions, well, I'd be sure to bring those to the fore. I'm going to be reading from the 79 booklet on healing. Then 1980, we got some excerpts from Romans 14, which Mr. Armstrong did cover what some of the things exactly like Mr. Blackwell said. And so, but he does take it a little further and updated what Mr. Blackwell taught in there a little bit. And then we've got an article also where Mr. Armstrong has in late 1980, for this book, booklet was 79. The excerpts are early 1980. Then the article was late 1980, right, almost 1981. So you can see the progressive as Mr. Armstrong understood things and taught us at that time. So we're going to have that this afternoon. Let's see. Now the sermon today is going to be by Mr. Leroy Neff. It was from January 1980. It's cut just a little bit short. This was come off of a CD. It was about an hour and a half long, but the first 45 minutes was just basically he talked about the finances of the work and some things like that. A year later after the receiver had taken over, and then they got the college back and all that, and he was telling how things were progressing there and give a little bit of information on Mr. Armstrong. But that I didn't put that on there. We just went right to the sermon because that was stuff that didn't apply today anyway. And so he got into the sermon. The sermon is a little bit short, about 45 minutes or so. So we'll have that. And it's entitled, What Causes People to Leave the Church? So you'll see how it fits in with the sermonette. Before that, we have special music. It's a piano solo, Ballad for Adeline, on tape. It was played about a year ago by Ashley Silva. Then we'll have the sermon.
Thank you.